CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. New Zealand, Hamilton, New Zealand, the home of Waikato University and senior lecturer of geopolitics, Ruben Steff, to report on the good news from New Zealand, far away and smiling because the economy, Bloomberg is reporting, is quite holding up given the concerns in Europe, especially Germany, the concerns in the United Kingdom about a possible recession that might be on. It looks to be that New Zealand is having a better time of it, matching the U.S. Ruben, a very good day to you. Thank you. Your unemployment report, just published, was not as gloomy as expected. Are jobs plentiful? Are wages climbing? How is your productivity? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. As you noted, unemployment is remaining about 4%. The expectations is that would be rising, but it stayed at a fairly good number. Now, of course, that comes at the cost somewhat of we expected interest rates to be cut this year, and that figure of 4% means that may not happen. Wages have been rising. Now, of course, they haven't risen enough to counteract the inflation we've seen in recent years, but nonetheless, they have been rising. When it comes to productivity, that's a bigger story, John. New Zealand actually has a productivity issue. In the OECD, we are a fairly low productivity country, and that has been a long-term trend here. And there's a number of theories as to why that we're not worth going to right now. But no, productivity is often a consideration for New Zealand, a problem. We work long hours for relatively less compared to many other wealthy countries.
Food prices are the bane of the American electorate right now. Our economy is positive by many metrics, but food prices hold the public back from being relaxed. You have spike in food prices, just ordinary shopping.
Yes, it can partly be seasonal. It can partly be the quality of the crops, whether there's been droughts and so on. We've had experienced general inflation in recent years, high levels of inflation like the rest of the Western world. Spikes to individual food crops, I don't think they're too prominent here. I mean, occasionally you'll see something that really escalates above what you expect. But no, it's been just the general high levels of inflation, and that has been applied, of course, to food prices.
We turn to the future. Immigration, a huge story in the United States. As you know, you follow carefully the geopolitics of the North Temperate Zone. A big problem in the United Kingdom, a debate, a fierce debate, the Rwanda vote and the question of people crossing the English Channel. But to get to New Zealand, you'd have to have some serious boating. So I'm going to presume that your immigration is more organized. How is the immigration story for New Zealanders? And do you welcome new immigrants? Do you welcome them from around the world? And do you have a system like Canada's that cares a deal about education and training?
Yeah, John. So it's a hard task to get to New Zealand illegally. You're going to have to come from the Southeast Asian archipelago on boats. Even then, often you're going to stop at Australia because New Zealand is just too far to get here that way. So we do have a more organized, orderly system than some other countries. We also have, we can choose, pick and choose, right? We do bring in low-skilled immigration to work on the farms and to pick fruit and so on. But we can also target highly skilled immigration to try bring in people who bring with them capital, knowledge, innovative ideas, and so on. But back to this idea of there being a crisis in immigration in other countries, there are some bubbling issues here. For example, last year, John, we took in 118,000 immigrants. That's 2.3% of New Zealand's population. So we added that to our population last year, 2.3% people. That is significant. Yes, that brings in people to work, it brings in innovative ideas and capital, but it pushes up house prices, puts pressure on infrastructure, and as you can imagine, it starts to change to some degree the national cohesion of the nation. So immigration is a benefit to New Zealand, but there are some concerns as to, well, what level can we actually handle if we're going to be taking in such massive amounts?
Is growth an issue story for the immigration? Because the general understanding is that the larger the population, the more prosperous the country, hence India. The shrinking population, the concern about the future, that would be China and Japan. Your population, does it have a birth rate that's growing? Does it have immigration that's growing? Do you have a policy to grow?
So yes, we've joined the birth rate decline that we're seeing elsewhere. Our fertility rate is about 1.58% now. It's actually dropped quite a lot in recent years. Until very recently, part of the story was that New Zealand was basically replacing itself. We had a healthy demographic profile or birth rate. At 1.6%, that, of course, is below the 2.1% you want for the domestic population to replenish itself. So reducing immigration is one way to keep those numbers and even grow them. You know, as you said, larger countries, larger populations tend to be more wealthy. It also offsets the low productivity, right? If you've got low productivity, if you just start bringing in lots and lots of people, despite the pressure that does put on parts of the economy, it can help juice GDP growth. So that is part of the calculation. And if you go back, yes, immigration declined a bit under the Jacinda Ardern government and because of COVID, but prior to that, the John Key government for about 9 years did open the floodgates to immigration to keep GDP growing, and we are back to that model again, it looks like.
Do you have friction? Anecdote. There's a town on the Adriatic where a number of Bangladeshi immigrants live, working in the Fincantieri shipyards. They're Muslims, but they don't have a mosque, so they've been meeting in public to pray, and now they want a mosque built. There's tension with the local population, with the mayor, with the politics. Do you have anything like that in New Zealand?
It doesn't often come to the fore in the media that I see. I'm sure there is some localized friction. But again, a population is about 5 million people, so I think you don't necessarily get the critical mass you might get in other countries of immigrants coming in that leads to those frictions. Kiwi culture is also quite conducive to immigration. Kiwis are a pretty laid back, down to earth, helpful, friendly people. And I think that does help grease the wheels of national cohesion for the most part. Another topic we might want to come to in later discussions, though, is race relations between the new, what we might say is the new government, so to speak, is a kind of symbolic avatar for perhaps Anglo people in New Zealand and our domestic indigenous Maori people. Race relations there are not very good at the moment. So immigration is a story that's occurring kind of above and almost away from this intensifying negative race relations at the moment between the indigenous Maori people and what we might say is the white majority.
Finally, you have a new government in just a minute now. Oceania, that's the vast Indo-Pacific. The new government, does it have a political stance that is aware of the contest with China? Does it talk about it, the new government?
Yes, absolutely. Last week, there was the first 2+2 meeting between New Zealand foreign ministers and defence ministers in Australia, the first ever, unprecedented, in which a joint statement was released, talked in quite forceful language about joint deterrence efforts, war-fighting exercises, the need for the New Zealand and Australian military to be not just interoperable, but interchangeable. It looks like New Zealand will be entering into AUKUS Pillar 2 as well. That's the technology-sharing part of the agreement. In response to all of this, China came out and said the statement released by New Zealand and Australia reflected a Cold War mentality. They deplore and firmly oppose it. They do not like New Zealand and Australia getting into China's internal affairs, because the statement did mention the South China Sea, East China Sea, and Taiwan. So, yes, this government is taking a pretty strong stand on China-related issues and looking to align as closely as it can, deepen the alignment with Australia and the United States.
Reuben Steff, Waikato University, Hamilton, New Zealand. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor